Like me. Hi there, everybody. This is Trista. Ja Trista. Ja. As in, put job before yourself, Ja. Praise Ja. And I thought I would have you along for company while I sweep my floor and organize my sheds and maybe water my garden if it lasts that long. I wanted to talk about the BLM. And how the BLM is going to carry us through to victory. But first I wanted to play this song. This is Rocco's Spiritual Vibrations 88 on King Dub and Oh My Radio with special guest J-Man. Reggae and dub radio mix. It's pretty awesome stuff. In fact, I wanted to rewind. I'm going to rewind, yeah. Because this is dedicated to George Floyd. And this first song, Mashatub, is like my favorite Rasta tune right now. I'm kind of new to it. I guess it's called Roots Dub.
Good day, black people.
Mash it up. One of these days.
Good day, black people.
Oh yeah, this song gives my music to my soul.
Chinese man,
mash up. You white man, you gonna mash it up.
Stand up.
One of these days, permanently. It's beautiful. Gonna go beat Babylon. He gonna take on Babylon. How beautiful is that? Mash up the white man. Seriously, he's gonna mash it up. So yeah, it's an inspirational tune. That's Rockin' Rocco. It's like I'm DJing with Rockin' Rocco. Great tunes, man. And he dedicated this to George Floyd. So he plays some roots dubs and some roots reggae. This is how I interpret what's going on. I'm kind of a neophyte to roots reggae, which is my favorite music. It should be our favorite music, roots reggae, because it really calms everybody down. Because it's devotional. Jah Rastafari, as I covered in a previous podcast, I read the Wikipedia entry about Haile Selassie. Who is Rastafari? That means prince. It has to do with Ethiopian. Go back to that podcast if you're interested, which I highly recommend. And so actually, Rasta music is highly devotional. They talk about Jah and Rastafari. That's his name, Haile Selassie's name. Because we believe that Haile Selassie, he is the reincarnation, a black man. I want to say liberative, who is liberative and of the people. And Haile Selassie was a pretty gifted leader. He's actually, as I pointed out. He is the descendant of the Queen of Sheba, who went to go visit Solomon, and so that's pretty cool. And I've always kind of identified with the Queen of Sheba, as I mentioned, and also it kind of ties in with my DNA charts. Goes back to Ethiopia, but the genes of Isis, and Isis was this is the kind of hypothesis that's kind of brewing in my subconscious after watching a bunch of Gaia shows, which are great. I also highly recommend Gaia. Has all kinds of wonderful shows. Wonderful, with Graham Hancock, David Wilcock, John Anthony West, RIP, and Robert Bovall, I like the Regina too. She's pretty. She's a good interviewer, and Open Minds, just like an Open Mind series. And there was a pretty mind-blowing one by Linda Rowe. And that was kind of mind-blowing about what people who have worked in, the government, about what they say about UFOs or, so-called aliens or different types of them. And what's really going on there. So I highly recommend that as well. And so yeah, Gaia's awesome. This is a time when there's a lot of fussing and fighting, as this song is talking about. A lot of fussing and fighting in Babylon. And the awesome thing about the BLM. Ha! Is that it's organized us across not just one group, ethnic group or whatever, which that's too narrow in scope, but actually what BLM has created, and God bless the BLM, God bless Antifa. Because it's helped to organize, it's organized us in response to this systemic threat that this satanic neo-Nazi administration, maladministration, is posing. Now, we talked in previous podcasts about how blatantly Satanist it is for him to, for him to hold an upside down Bible. And I actually wrote a letter to the editor, or it was part of my news tips, but I think I'm going to try to, this is going to be my new goal, to write a letter to the editor every day and send it to like 100 different newspapers. And I think the chances are better than maybe the news tips, because they can just kind of dismiss it, you know, just read it for like Harper's Bazaar or something. But if it's a letter to the editor, actually, I just found out like the letter that I wrote yesterday about Chris Magnus, Chief Tucson Police Department, police chief, about he should press murder charges against the murders of Carlos Ingram Lopez. They cuffed him and then tased him to death. So that's murder, in my book. It should be in the police book, too. So, I also turned it into a campaigning for myself. And all the letters for are submitted to the Arizona Daily Star, I think it is, that's the main newspaper around here. Even if they don't get published, like in print, they will be published online. They will be online. So that's all the more reason for me to do this every day. And then it'll be online. I'll have like a whole, you know, and then I'm going to put a collection of links. I'm going to post them all on my Trista for Change website. So they'll be on that, on my website as well. TristaForChange.com. That should be done pretty soon. And then there could be more hits. I can send people to certain links through social media. And yesterday I also did my first animated cartoon. It was about the day Hanky lost his nuts. Actually, it's the first episode in that. It's when they meet. And that's on my YouTube channel, so please do subscribe, or, you know, subscribe. I know my YouTube channel it's got a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of, like, clips from Gaia that I think are important about, like, everything from like what real Adam and Eve really is, what paradise really means. It's kind of like an enclosure for some kept animals, which is what this Adamic race is. Michael Tessarian said that Adam, the roots of meaning of the word Adam, means slave, and that's exactly what we were, we have been, and we're not anymore. And so thank you, BLM, for reminding us that we're not slaves anymore, that Jah loves us. Jah Rastafari. When I, as an empath, if I read about the life, that's why I love reading biographies. I love reading about their lives, whether of other like great people, and Haile Selassie. He was a great man, and I accept him as a a prophet, a black man who was a prophet here on Earth. And I know that, like, well, Wikipedia is, of course, quick to point out the kind of negative parts of his life, which I actually, after studying his life, I can kind of channel him. And I can tell you that he regrets the letting. It was like 100,000. It was like a village, a rebellious village, rebelled against him, and then they starved to death because he refused to send food. And I can tell you that he regrets that. In the context where, you know, he was emperor, became emperor, and he was assassinated too, by the way. At the end of his life, he was assassinated. So, I mean, it was a different time then, so I can kind of understand. I understand why he made that decision not to send food to that village, and that they, you know, effectively letting them starve to death, because they had rebelled, and he thought that they would see it as a sign of weakness. To help them out after they rebelled. But in the afterlife, he understands. You know, he's he's a prophet. I accept him as my prophet. And apparently, according to Gaia, by the way, in Mason's study, there was a great speaker on Masonic symbols, and one of the things that the Masons try to guard as secret is that there had been exactly a Jesus, but it's a conglomerate. It's a consolidation of the lives of 23 other similar men or similar people. I'm sure it's not all men, who came to life on this earth, and they were like gods among men, prophets, you could say. I'm thinking that it's what we consider a prophet is an enlightened being that has been incarnated to help us along, you know, help guide us, guide the rest of us, kind of like the leader of a flock. A sheep herder who doesn't hurt the sheep. So benevolent rulers, and there's a chapter in my Great Scroll of Ban Chiao that I wrote with Pastor Phil about in defense of the monarchy. And that would apply to Haile Selassie. Actually, after that was one of my least favorite chapters, because I kind of objected to the thought that monarchs or kings or whatever I wonder what the origin of the word monarch is, anyway. Escapes me right offhand. I objected to the fact that they could have our interests at our best interests at heart. But some of them do, like Haile Selassie. And like he served as his own education minister for like 20 years. And he wanted to raise the level of his people. And, you know, I saw some clips of, you know, kids in these class that he started, like, all this, you know, a pretty great school system, a university, created the National Palace, and he wanted to raise a class of people, basically, who would be good administrators in his administration. So he kind of approached being an emperor as an administration that was all for the good of his people. And at the time, I mean, he was quite the figure. He traveled to 136 countries, I think it said. And of course, when you get to Jamaica, they have this vision, this legend, that a black man would be incarnated and save the people, you know, raise the and do this, and that's, so they see him as a prophet, as God here on earth, you know, kind of like a black pope. And so Ground Nation Day, that was so interesting. I love to hear that story about when Haile Selassie, and I'm sure in the afterlife, that I think that was the most beautiful moment in his life, when he touched down in Jamaica. And there was like thousands of Rastafarians. You know, people who worshipped him as a god. And he was very overcome with emotion. He was very touched by that, by their reception. And he created set aside a piece of land in Ethiopia for them to come and live. They asked him if they could repatriate, if they could go back with them, you know. They wanted to go to Ethiopia. And I can say in hindsight that he wishes he had, because that would have been the class of people that he was looking for to, you know, he needed to protect him from, you know, there were other pretenders to the throne and, you know, jockeying around for power, of course. Found somebody gave me a whip. I wonder where the rest of it is. I could actually create I've got the leather to create the whatever, catty tails. All kinds of cool stuff. Just gotta take care of it, right? Use it or lose it. It's like your brain. So, yeah, right now I'm organizing some stored water. You know, like, here's a tip. Trista's tricks, tips and tricks segment. You get some wine, or somebody gives you a bottle of wine, and after you finish it, fill it up with water. And because glass is perfect way to store water. And I saved the plastic ones as well. Rinse them out. And don't store them in the sun, of course. But I mean, not the. You can store the glass ones in the sun. That's another benefit. I think it looks neat. I like. I've painted that. Mini glass wine bottles and Misbehaving. There's a picture of that. It's just anywhere. If it's still in there. Anybody. If something happens to me and the world wants to find a treasure trove of Trista paintings, look in the attic of DV8 Bar and Pub in Taipei, because they apparently still have my paintings. So I would be happy to share those with the world. I was just looking through a book of Picasso's work and realized, hey man, I'm better than Picasso. But don't say that too loudly, because I get like ultra competitive and I'm putting some Red Bull in the fridge to cool down. And then later, I got two Red Bulls. I've had them for a while. I stopped drinking for, there was a long time there when I was, every day. It was kind of like my, gasoline was a Irish coffee with a splash of rum or whiskey, or if I didn't have those, maybe vodka. An alcoholic told me once that her alcoholic choice was vodka because you can't smell it on your breath. It's just a mess. So yeah, Haile Selassie, great man. And he was murdered. There's paperwork to prove it, the order. There was a type of military coup, a committee that took advantage, this is according to Wikipedia, of my recollection from my Haile Selassie Wikipedia entry reading and podcast a couple days ago, a week ago or something. But Haile Selassie is a figure, benevolent leader, which is what we deserve. So maybe America, maybe we just tell ourselves. Apparently, many of us don't believe this or can't believe this about ourselves, but we deserve a better leader. Okay. So cheer up. It's almost over. It's almost over. I think this guy, he has out-thunk himself and his abilities. And one of these days, I think not too long, I'm thinking like 3 months, maybe like right before the election. It's just gonna. I think the people need to rise up, and I've always thought this. We need to just park ourselves at the fucking White House in the millions and just not leave until he does. In fact, we call it, we're not going to leave until he does movement. That'd be pretty fun. But I think, you know, and here's where I can come in handy to the BLM as a strategist, political strategist, and a cultural navigator. You know, having worked in the media gives me particularly awesome communication skills and kind of awareness of what can be done. And also, I'll point it out again, I have a track record, a background of being able to get people to step down even without trying. Just by pointing out their faults and what they're, you know, like criticizing and protesting. So we need as many people as possible criticizing. I want you guys to all get your hypercritical powers. Hone them right now. And send letters to the editor. I think that's the way to go. Send letters to the editor. Yeah, and that's a tip about the Arizona Daily Star. They publish online with the spelling errors and all the letters that are sent to them. So get that online, and it's a matter of public records, permanent records. Well, until electromagnetic pulse blows away all of our circuitry. And we'd have to start from scratch again. Like Plato says, each successive generation of survivors have to start over again from scratch like a child. That's what Plato said. About Atlantis, which was real, man. It's not fucking hippy dippy trippy shit about Atlantis, and everybody should get that through their heads. There was an advanced civilization. There's many of them before us, and in a lot of ways they were more advanced than we are, way more. In fact, they were alien. So yeah, that's the big disclosure. It's going to dawn on us all that we've been purposely kept in a state of slavery, slavehood, in terms of our knowledge. We've been purposely kept in the dark, and they're trying to make that last as long as possible. Because it suits their purposes. But now there are too many of us. There's too many of us. And we're hogging up the resources. They want all the resources for themselves. And there are too many of us. So then they start to look at us as an expendable population. Or one they want to get rid of. You know, they already used us. Now they have their robots. They don't need us for even labor. So that's what's really going on. They have factories that kind of, you know, can be done remotely. Put a switch. Just turn on the switch. Just flip the switch and run a factory by itself. You don't need any workers. You just need workers to, like, chop up meat. Well, they get themselves infected and infect the public as well, because they've already got their, you know, they only get like Trader Joe's stuff, or, you know, they have their own suppliers, or, you know, rich people don't eat our foods. They don't eat that. They don't eat shit we eat. So, what we got to do is beat them at their own game. Get flexible, man. Got to roll with the changes. Grow a garden in your windowsill. You never know, man. That might be the last thing you got to eat for a month until we can get this clown out of office and his vice president. This is my urgent call to the BLM. We got to get rid of Trump and Pence. Trump and Pence. Keep your eye on the prize. Get rid of them both. And it's easily done. All we have to do is focus on the fact. He told us to inject bleach. Inject detergents. And he held the Bible upside down. That'll get all the Christians up at arms. I think I'll write another one for the Christian Science Monitor. It's if I'm a really concerned Christian about the symbolism, the disturbing symbolism. The disturbing satanic symbolism in Mr. Trump's actions. By the way, sweeping's really good for you in many ways. It's not only kind of like a catalyst to thought. In fact, so people live on hippie communes or whatever you want to call them. Hippie communes. not cults or, you know, like yoga. Communities or spiritual communities. You know, I don't mean to sound sarcastic, but one of the things they do is say, like, everybody like sweeps early in the morning. You get this routine. I haven't lived in one, but I've read about them or talked to people who've lived in them, and they get a strict routine. It's like being in prison, but it's for spiritual guidance. In fact, like the Taiwanese prison system is more like a hippie commune than a prison, from what I understand. They make you meditate. How cool is that? That's a freaking brilliant idea. I think you know, as sheriff, if you can vote for Judge Tristeff for sheriff, and by the way, write my name in across the state, or anywhere in the states, for sheriff. So I'll serve. Vote me in somewhere around the country. Write my name in. I'll do the same thing for your town. If I don't win this Pima Sheriff one. But, you know, I should be able to if I were as smart as I think I am. Smart as my degrees. If I could be as smart as my degrees, then I could win this thing. Just have to get in the media. Get in the media every single day. Every single day a letter to the editor. That's online. And then put links to that on social media. This is how we can do it, BLM. I'm telling you this so we can other BLM supporters, enthusiasts, fans can also please write letters to the editor about all these people. Breonna Taylor, you know, this poor man Aubrey, oh my God, he was hunted down like a cow or a gazelle. And he was a jogger. It's more elegant than a cow, that's for sure. And he was a good looking man too. And the thing is, apparently it was sexual jealousy involved. I think, is that the case where he was, Aubrey was seeing a white woman and these white racist supremacists, they can't stand the sexual competition and losing out to a black man whom they've been told is inferior. So they kill him. Shouldn't get away with that. He should be in fucking jail. Actually, I should send a letter to... here's a note to myself. Send a letter to... where was that? Aubrey. Is that in Georgia? Oh, I just see these beautiful, tiny little birds. What kind of bird are you, girl? Or boy? Wow. They're so cute. You know, I saw a lovebird in my courtyard once. A couple times. Several times, actually. I haven't seen it lately. That one's kind of like, I think it's maybe a cactus wren. And I got my chickies here. They're lying on their sides in the horse shit. Kind of like, they like to clean their feathers in the dirt. Yeah, they dig it. They dig the horse shit. Because it basically it's just like grass clippings. So yeah, it's a scorcher, as my Aunt Bobby would say. But you know what? It's good. I need to lose a little weight. I want to lose it. I don't really need to. Well, you know, to be healthy, my optimum health. Yeah. Should do some sit-ups. Let me cut back on the milk. My coffee. Yeah, Haile Selassie was not only a good man, he was a good emperor. He really he definitely raised the stature of Ethiopia. I think at the time Ethiopia was I want to say the richest. It was kind of like the example, the leader in Africa. And it was because of Haile Selassie. And his modernization, he was always trying to bring back inventions and from his travels. And I thought it was particularly touching that when England, there were floods in England, and he sent them £1,000 and a note saying that, you know, I heard you were needing donations and I hope this helps. And the fact that he donated the house that he lived in England when he was in exile. Remember that, Dr. Baker? When Haile Selassie was in exile? He gave that house in Bath as a like an old folks home, was it? And that's very kind. He was a very kind person, very generous. And I know he regrets that 100,000 of his people died because of the starvation thing, but he didn't know what else to do. he thought it would maybe be too much of a risk to keep them alive. But that's in this world, you know, that's his Babylon moment. Babylon system. So I just dumped out my coffee grounds in one of my planters. A bunch of planters around. So, yeah. So how the BLM is going to bring us through to victory. One, they organized us already. We're already together in solidarity. And all we have to do now is just follow. Okay, what worked before? And look at that. What worked before? The fact that 10 million people signed a freaking petition to impeach, that worked. It got them to actually start a investigation through the House committees, judicial and oversight, etc. So let's do it again. We found some winning measures. One of them is protests, of course, and saying no. I have this refrigerator that's kind of broken, but it makes a good safe from rats. What do you call it? A condiment fridge, and also for you know, maybe like big drinks or big gallon juice thingies. So that's one way to repurpose a broken fridge. Use it as kind of like a protected shelving, a safe. So yeah, sweeping today. Sweeping's good for your mind. It's literally like sweeping away debris and detritus from your brain. And also the movements are very, you know, the rhythmic movements are conducive. Kind of like playing music. It's conducive to thought. So yeah, I'm reorganizing my Arizona room, as I call it. It was a front porch, and before I just had like a lot of junk on it. My mom's dead boyfriend's kind of like sorting machines. He was a mineralogy expert from the U of A. But when he died, she had a couple like sheds full of his stuff. And then when she died, I got the remainder of that plus her stuff. And then when my sister died a couple years later, there's been a lot of deaths in my family lately. Well, the past 5 years. But everything's gonna be a-okay, right, guys? From now on, now that it's finally mine. My homestead. It's my homestead and nobody else's. And I'm taking real good care of it. It's sanctuary for plants, animals, and people in that order. Because plants and animals are more lovable than people, and really worth more worth saving because people can save themselves. So let's save ourselves. Do whatever it takes to cast off the bonds, the chains of slavery. And that means becoming as independent as possible in your thoughts and in your lifestyle, in your finances. So I want everybody out there to think of, start thinking of a, you know, if you were stuck or taken off guard because you were working in the service sector and there is no service sector anymore, or tourism, you're working in tourism and now you know, what are you going to do now? So start thinking about it, meditate on it, meditate. Read widely. Ask your friends what they think. I mean, like your real friends. Like, maybe they can give you, if you can't think of any of your good points, which is a shame in itself, should be able to say some good things about yourself. Or like, what are your, not just your skills, but what do you love doing? I think it was a TED talk talking about what kind of activity makes you forget about time or eating. And there are like three points of intersection for like kind of like the perfect career would be something that you're passionate about, and also that you're good at. You have the skills. You have the skills and the passion. You have the skills and the passion, and what society needs too. Something that society also needs. So where those three intersect, that is your new career. I just had a great business idea for the COVID era. But as you don't know, I used to teach kids how to play guitar, English guitar, English songs, like their favorite songs in English on guitar. To Taiwanese kids. And so I know how to, and I trained myself how to play guitar. And I can teach other people how to finish teaching yourself guitar after only an hour introduction. So, we can do is, and I can even bring my friend Lena along, who also would like a guitar thing, learn how to play guitar. And that's the thing, so many people, they've always wanted to know how to play guitar, right? I mean, even Sheriff Napier always wanted to learn how to play guitar. And and also, we're bored and lonely, you know, you guys are. Most people are, because, you know, like my friends tell me they are, because they need the human interaction. They want to socialize, but because of this COVID era thing, it makes it difficult, not impossible, but difficult. So here's a business idea. to offer a 1-hour introductory guitar lesson in the park, in a class that's social distanced. And, you know, a small class. Everybody brings their own guitar and food and water, of course. And they give me $20. Give me $20, and in 1 hour, I will teach you how to the basic rudiments of guitar, and how to thereafter teach yourself according to what you want to play, or you know your needs. You know, whether it's to write your own music or to just learn how to play your favorite rock tunes, or you know, or pop tunes or K-pop tunes. So, and that's a nice social thing. And if I can get like, you know, a small group, maybe like, I was going to say 8 or 9 or 10, but maybe that's too large. Maybe like, well, see, it's, if it's $20 a piece, and I could, if I want to make, $100 an hour, that's my goal. So I would say like maximum 5 students. And we always stay 6 feet apart, and no contact. But in an hour's time, after only $20, they'll have, you know, actually seen a couple people, met a couple people, and learned how to play guitar. So Lena agrees. She thinks that's a really good idea. But that's an good example of something that I'm good at, something that society needs, and something that I like doing. As teaching and play, I love to. I like to play with other people. I don't like to play alone. Normally, I mean, play guitar. Or an instrument alone. I like to play music with other people. I mean, that's how I got turned on into playing music, was Japanese foreign exchange students in Berserkly. When I was at Berserkly, living next door, they were on the porch. We would hang out, and they knew Bob Marley songs on guitar. Just would sing along and play Bob Marley songs. You know, what a beautiful experience that was, and it's so much that I eventually checked out a book from the Berkeley Public Library of Beatles songs, lyrics, and chords, and got started. I mean, here's a condensation, and you don't even have to meet me in the park, I'll tell you. Because information wants to be free, and music too. But in these books, usually they'll show you where your fingers go. So I chose, here's another, the other tip from my free guitar class, right here. But what you do is you choose songs that you like, your favorite songs, and but they also have to be kind of simple. I mean nothing you know, I try to start or get other people started with maybe a song that has like 3 or maybe 4 chords, you know, just to give them confidence, you know, give yourself confidence. In another trick, save you $20, don't even have to take a class in the park. But so you just teach yourself a new chord every day. There's only like, I mean, once you know 3 chords, you can play like a million songs, I swear to God. And like the Flight of the Conchords did a sketch on this. It's very funny.